All right. Last time we were together, we looked at the nature and the beginning of Peter turning to the institution of marriage, and primarily beginning by focusing on the relationship of wives to their husbands and how wives are to subject themselves to their husbands. And we looked at all of that, what we defined as God's calling for women, the imperishable beauty of a godly wife. And now in verse 7, Peter turns his attention to husbands. And this is what he writes. He says, "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." Let's pray and ask the Lord for help. Father God, we just come to you now. We want to honor your word. And as those of us here, we're men, we're husbands, we're fathers. And God, we want to live with the standard that you have laid out for us. We want to honor the calling of being a godly husband, and we want to do that faithfully to what your word demands. And so, God, help us this morning. Give us the knowledge to understand these things. Give us an ability to love and treat our wives like Christ loves his church. Show us the flaws in our ways. Prune us from anything that we are doing which is causing us to live beneath this glorious calling of a godly husband. Forgive us where we have failed, and allow us to be the leaders of our home that you would have us to be. And so this morning, help us, God, as we study your word. Grow us in knowledge. Grow us in love towards you, and ultimately love towards our wives. So we thank you, we praise you, and we just say these things in your precious and holy name. Amen. So just a brief kind of recap of where we've gone to and how we've gotten here. Peter has really turned to this portion of how shall we live back in 1 Peter 2, primarily in verses 11 and 12, where he has told us that as sojourners, as elect exiles, we are to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against our soul, and that we are to let our conduct be honorable among the Gentiles, or all men, so that through our actions, they may glorify God on the day of visitation. This has been the whole point. How do we abstain from the passions of the flesh, which is waging war? And how are we to live in such a way that our honorable conduct may be the means by which God draws men to the knowledge of salvation? And so in order to maintain this honorable conduct, he has called us, first and foremost, to submit ourselves to the authority of every human institution. That's back in verse 13 of chapter 2. And from that subjection to the authority of every human institution, he has then laid out really three primary areas to provide specific examples of this general principle of honorable conduct within the world. The first was submission to civil authorities. And we saw that in verses 13 through 17. Then he dealt with submission to our direct overseers. So he uses the example of masters and slaves. And we're to do this in spite of injustice, that there's going to be times where we will do good for God, that we will live righteously, and that we will suffer for that, that we will be punished for doing good. That is the true definition of injustice. But to take heart, because our reward is in heaven. Our reward is from God. It is honorable in the sight of God when we face injustice for doing what is right according to his standard. And then he moves to submission in the home, what we would consider the supreme human institution, as it was the first human institution ever ordained by God. And so he deals with this relationship between wives and husbands. And so we saw, like I said last time, the role that wives are to take, adorning themselves with the imperishable beauty of the gentle and quiet spirit before the Lord, trusting in his sovereignty over their situation, resting in their salvation, and trusting in his sovereignty. And that is how they can have this fearless, gentle, and quiet spirit, and which is adorned upon their soul and bearing the imperishable beauty of a godly wife. And now he has turned to husbands. He begins by saying, likewise, husbands. And you can see that this is the constant call. Likewise, servants, be subject to your masters. Likewise, wives. Likewise, husbands. He is continuing this train of thought from the beginning. And he is turning to husbands who are elect exiles. These are Christian husbands that he's talking to. And how they are called to subject themselves to the institution of marriage and towards their wives. Now, like every other act of subjection, the whole point of subjection, going back to chapter 2, verse 13, is that it is to be done for the Lord's sake. So husbands, likewise husbands, the reason that we are showing our wives honor as a weaker vessel, the reason that we are to live with them in an understanding way is for the Lord's sake, first and foremost. Everything we do, Peter is saying, in this beautiful general principle that he has put into these specific examples, is that we are to live our lives for the Lord's sake. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, right? Whether you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. Everything is for the Lord's sake. He says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Now, that understanding way is literally translated in the Greek according to knowledge, kata gnosin. And that would just, it would sound kind of awkward if they translated that straight literally, because it would say, likewise, husbands, live with your wives according to knowledge. And so the translators have taken the liberty of translating live with your wives in an understanding way. But it literally means according to knowledge. So what knowledge are we to understand in order to properly live with our wives as godly husbands? What is this knowledge? According to what knowledge? And I think that just based on the immediate context, we need to know these things. We need to know what does he mean by honor the woman? What is he talking about honor? What does that mean? What is the woman referring to? Is it talking about the women in general, or is he talking to the woman, which I think is the case, our wife, how we relate to our wife? What does he mean by a weaker vessel? That's where you can get in trouble, right? To call anybody a weaker vessel. What does he mean by that? And how are they heirs with us? What is this grace of life that they are heirs with us about? What does that mean? And what is it referring to? And most importantly, how in the world does our relationship with our wife affect our prayer life? He says, so that your prayers may not be hindered. How does my relationship to my wife serve to help or hinder my prayers? We need to know what that means. We need to have this knowledge in order to live according to it. However, this is not the only knowledge that we must have. There's an actual greater knowledge, which all of this other knowledge has to flow from. And Peter's already gotten out of this, and we're gotten at this, and we're going to let Paul help us as well. In 1 Peter 1, 14 and 15, Peter wrote, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. What does he mean here by former ignorance? And I think this is your life prior to your knowledge of God, prior to knowing him who has called you. Don't live with that in the way and then with the passions of your past ignorance before you knew God. And Paul almost gives us an exact statement of what Peter is teaching here in his epistle, but he gives us a clearer understanding. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 4 through 5, Paul writes to the Thessalonian church that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. And so how do we live with our wives according to knowledge? How are we going to be able to honor them as a weaker vessel? How do we see them as heirs with us? How do we know what all of that means and how it affects our prayer life? Well, it has to begin with a knowledge of God. To be a godly husband means that you must first know God. And if you do not know God, you will never know what it means to truly love and honor your wife. And that's just true. You'll never know how to properly raise your children because you will be left in your former ignorance. You will be left in an ignorance and a blindness which fails for you to properly understand and see your wife in the way, the light that she, God has set her apart to be. And you will never raise your children in the way that they are called to be because you do not first and foremost know God. And so husbands, live with your wives according to the knowledge of both the knowledge of God first and foremost and the knowledge of what it means to live with your wife. How you are to be mindful of her, to honor her, who she is in the eyes of God. You need to know these things because if you don't, you'll never be able to fulfill this command that we are being called to, this expectation and standard that God has for husbands. He says, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Now, this is the primary call of the husband to his wife in this passage. Our primary call, he says, is to show honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Now, Peter is brilliant here, and this is just a testament to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But he checks us here from going to two extremes. The first extreme is to look at your wife and say that she is not on my level. She is not equally worthy. And he protects us from that interpretation by immediately following this, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, by saying, since she is an heir with you of the grace of life. She's a fellow heir of the grace of life. So you can't say that she's not equally worthy. That's not what this passage is teaching. You can't say that your wife is beneath you as a human being. She is less than you in the eyes of God. You cannot say that. So that's the first extreme. The second extreme is the extreme which says that husbands and wives have no differences in the economy of their relationship. Peter says clearly that the woman is the weaker vessel. Weaker means that there are two vessels involved, and that obviously the husband is the stronger vessel and the wife is the weaker vessel. There is a difference here. We are not egalitarians. There is clearly a difference in the economy of our relationship towards one another. There is something different about the way in which we complement one another. We are not equal in light of this. And so these are the two extremes. The first extreme is to see our wives as less than, to see them as not equally worthy. And he protects that from saying they're fellow heirs of the grace of life. Secondly, the extreme is to make it totally egalitarian, that there is no distinction between man and woman, that there is no distinction between the economy of the husband and wife within the marital relationship. And Peter will not have that either. by saying that the wife is the weaker vessel. And so if we want to honor our wives in light of the way that God demands, we better know what he means by weaker vessel. So what does he mean here? Men and women are both vessels. Like I said, that's why he says they're the weaker vessel. But what does he mean by vessel? There are some commentators who turn this idea of vessel into basically a sexual one. This is referring to the sexual act between a man and a woman, that it was primarily referring to the body parts, the sexual parts of men and women. And I don't think that that's, I don't see that as any way satisfying to the text. The focus here is focusing on our bodies in general. When we talk about the word vessel, we are vessels, it's referring to our bodies. And I think that's most made clear by Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:7, where he says, "But we have this treasure in jars," that's literally vessels, "of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." So Peter here is saying, show honor to the woman as the one with the weaker or more fragile body. Now, I know that we live in the postmodern age where women are CrossFitters and marathon runners and bodybuilders, and there are some women who, no doubt about it, are stronger than a lot of some of the men that they come in contact with. However, the overwhelming generality of men and women is that men are always stronger and have a higher capacity with their bodies than women do. And if you don't believe me, that's why there's a WNBA and women don't play in the NBA. That's why in the Olympics, no, there are no men and women co-ed sports. There's no mixing of the sports. The overwhelming generality is that men at their peak are always stronger than women, even at their peak. And so this is clearly evident. I don't need to hear the one example where so-and-so beat so-and-so in a tennis match or this or that. The overwhelming generality is that women are, they are weaker. They are to be, they are a more fragile body. And so how do we show honor to our wives as a weaker vessel, as a more, a fragile body? Now, before we answer that, how do we do this? I just want to make it clear that once again, there is absolutely no room for anyone to be able to read the scriptures and see any idea or even hint that homosexuality or same-sex marriage or attraction would ever even be sneezed at by the apostles. There is nothing that you can see that as the way, that clearly the economy of marriage is to be between a wife and a husband, a woman and a man. There is no exception clause here that Peter is allowing for, or Paul will allow for in Romans and other places. And so this idea that the Bible never speaks of those things, especially with this growing movement of the Bible didn't have homosexuality until the 1940s and all of that absurdity, it is just a constant reminder that every single positive example in Scripture of marriage is between the only way God has ever ordained the institution, between a man and a woman. And that is just, I think it's silly we have to say that, but we do. We have to constantly make that clear. So how do we show honor to our wives as this weaker vessel? And I think this is how. To honor means to esteem. It means to show worth, to praise, to highly value. And so I think this showing honor for our wives as the weaker vessel is seen in our protection of her, our provision for her, our leadership over her, our affirmation of her. our initiative towards her and our care for her. This is how we show honor for her as the weaker vessel. And the greatest example of this is what Paul teaches husbands in Ephesians 5. He says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes her and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church." And I think right there, when you talk about Christ, the image of Christ's love for his church, who by far is the weaker vessel. The church is the weaker vessel in our relationship with Christ. That Christ protects his bride. He provides for his bride. He leads his bride by sanctifying it in the word and the direction of godliness. He affirms his bride by calling it his own. He takes the initiative. It is he who redeems and goes after his bride. It is he who cares for his bride as the weaker vessel. And so that is how we show honor to our wives as the weaker vessel. And when you see her as this beautiful, fragile, and wonderful thing that God has given you, this beautiful entity that God has given you to care for and provide for, it ought to immediately go to your heart and say, you better not be cruel to your wife. You better not raise your hand to your wife. You better not be aggressive with anger towards your wife. You better not speak to your wife the way that you would speak or challenge another man. You show honor to her as the weaker vessel. I think of a beautiful piece of highly valuable pottery. You don't throw it around. You don't toss it back and forth. You don't treat it with contempt. No, you set it up in places of care. You put it behind glass in ways that it can't be gotten to and broken and messed. You treat it with the utmost care and respect. And that's what you do with your wife as the weaker vessel in your relationship. You protect her, you provide for her, you lead her, you affirm her, you take the initiative in going after her and pursuing her and caring for her. You show honor to her as the weaker vessel. I think that's what he means here. You adore your wife. You love her. You care for her. You be tender to her. That's something that I know we as all husbands need to be more mindful of. And so what is often used is this text to be seen as chauvinistic, to call a woman the woman, the weaker vessel, is anything but chauvinistic. It is the call of God to men to say, you better honor your wife and you protect her and you better not lay a hand on her. You better not speak to her with the way that you would towards another man. You treat her and honor her. You protect her. You provide for her. You lead her. You affirm her. You care for her with all love and with all tenderness, just as Christ has loved his church. That's what I think he means to show honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. And so first you live with your wives in an understanding way by tenderly, carefully, provisionally protecting, loving, and honoring her as the weaker vessel. So that's the first way you live with your wives according to knowledge. And then the second way is you honor them as the weaker vessel since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. Think about this. Our wives are fellow heirs with us of the grace of life. You know, there are maybe with the exception of 2 Corinthians 7. But there is something very clear about the pattern of Scripture that when men come under the sovereign salvation of God, that there is an overwhelming tendency that that salvation is carried on to their wives and ultimately, eventually down the road to their children. There just seems to be an unbelievingly correlation with the salvation of men towards a future salvation for their family members. Now, we know that that is not always the case. We know that that is not any kind of guarantee, that there is no bloodlines as it pertains to God's calling and salvation. However, there is a big correlation to it, and it's hard not to see the connection. And so I think that's an important reminder as we, as men of God, need to be more than ever leading our family, sanctifying them in the Word, because our wives, especially our believing wives, are fellow heirs with us of the grace of life. Now, what does he mean by this? What does he mean that they are fellow heirs? And what does he mean by the grace of life? Well, first, fellow heirs goes all the way back to 1 Peter 1, 3 through 4. Remember, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here's the heirs part. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Just as you're an heir to that inheritance, so is your believing wife. She is also a fellow heir of everything that Christ is bringing and offering to his people. Your wife is a fellow heir. And thus, as a fellow heir, she is a daughter of the living God. And so, as a husband who is married to a believing wife, God is not only your father, he's also your father-in-law. Think about it like that. Your wife is a fellow heir with you of the grace of life. So not only should you show her honor as the weaker vessel, as this incredible, beautiful piece of expensive and highly valuable pottery that is fragile and meant to be cared for and loved, protected, and provided for. Not only should you honor her because she's the weaker vessel, you should honor her because she is a fellow heir with you of the grace of life. She is a daughter of the living God. Every night that you go to bed next to your believing wife, you are going to bed next to an heir of everything that God has offered his people. You are an heir next to a woman who will one day alongside you judge over the angels, we're told. This is a remarkable thing that should drive you to astonishment. And what is the grace of life that we are heirs for? 1 Peter 1:13, therefore preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the grace of life. Everything, all that the new heavens and earth will offer to Christians, to believers that comes with the second coming of Jesus, everything that comes with him is what your wife is a fellow heir with. This is no Mormonism whereby your wife merely rides the coattails of your godhood status, that her eternity is merely destined to be one of producing more spirit babies to inhabit the earth you create. Talk about a horrific eternal life that Mormonism has offered to women. No, she is a fellow heir. She is a daughter of the living God. And so you not only show her honor as a weaker vessel because she is not as strong as you, and you should care and love for her, and you should absolutely adore and nurture and care and tend for her in every way, but also because she's a daughter of the living God, and you ought to live with an astonishment and an amazement every day that God would bring you one of his daughters and give her to you in holy matrimony, make you one flesh. You are fellow heirs with the grace of life. And so This is how you show honor to your wives. This is how you live with them in an understanding way, according to knowledge, knowledge that they are the weaker vessel and that they are heirs with you of the grace of life. One, causing you to live with an overwhelming sense of nurture and care. The other, with a sense of awe and amazement. But there's a reason why we should do that. There's a reason why we should honor them as weaker vessels, and the fact that, and to recognize and be totally aware of the realities that they are heirs with us of the grace of life. It is because of what Peter closes with. He says, so that, in order that, your prayers may not be hindered. This is really, really, really important. Your relationship with your wife is vitally significant in either promoting or hindering your relationship with God. Your relationship with your wife is vitally significant in either promoting or hindering your relationship with God. Prayer is a big reality for Peter in general. 1 Peter 4:7, he says, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers." At 1 Peter 3:12, Peter writes, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So those who are self-controlled, those who are sober-minded, are those whose prayers are heard, because it is those who are doing righteousness. They are living according to the righteous precepts of God, and his ears are open to their prayer. So if you aren't living in an understanding way, according to the knowledge that God has given you toward your wives as husbands, he is not hearing your prayer. Your prayers are not ascending vertically when there is a misliving, there is disobedience in how you are showing love and respect and honor to your wives. If you're not doing that, your prayers are not going to God. His face is not towards you. How you treat your wife directly affects God's treatment towards you. Boy, that should wake us all up. Every husband who hears this, this should wake us up. How you treat your wife directly affects God's treatment towards you. He is the one who gave her to you. Do not let your relationship be marked by unkind words to your wife, by threatening her, domineering over her, causing her to fear and tremble because of your stature and size and strength. No, you let your stature and your size and your strength be the greatest tools in your protecting of her, your nurture of her, your love for her, your provision for her, your care for her. Why? Because she is a daughter of the living God. She is a fellow heir with you of the grace of life. And how you treat her directly affects God's treatment towards you. And so if there is anything right now wrong between you and your wife, husbands, you go take the initiative and you make it right. You leave the altar, you go make it right with your wife, and then come back and offer your prayer. Make it right. Because if we are not living in our wives with the standard that God has given us, treating them with honor, showing them honor as a weaker vessel, and constantly realizing that they are daughters of the living God, fellow heirs with us of the grace of life, then our relationship with God is off kilter as well. The knowledge how to rightly live and love our wives comes directly from our knowledge of God. And so if we aren't loving our wives the way we are called to, if we aren't showing them honor the way that we have been commanded by God to, then it shows that there's something wrong about our knowledge of God. How you treat your wife directly affects God's treatment towards you. And so with that, I close with just simply reciting what Peter writes to us today. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. This is the standard which God has laid out for us, husbands. Let us go and live accordingly. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We ask that you will just give us forgiveness where we have faltered here. We know that there is so much area for improvement. I just think of my own life and how much more I can be better, showing my wife honor, being reminded that she is your daughter, that she is in Christ, that she is a fellow heir, and how I should both live in awe and amazement and astonishment every day, that in all of my unworthiness, you would attach me in a one flesh union to this incredible godly woman. God, continue to give me a greater knowledge of you, that that knowledge may pour out in my love for my wife. And I pray that it will be the same for all my brothers listening today, that we will be the godly husbands you've called us to be, and that we would no longer live beneath such a calling. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you that we are bounded up by your strength, that though we are weak vessels, you shine through us. And God, more than ever in this area, especially towards our wives, we need you more than ever to bind up our weakness. We thank you, Father. We praise you. Let me just say these things in the precious name of Christ. Amen.